Last week we talked about the deadly dangers of Jezebel, women preachers, and women out of place in the Lord's service. It's our door, our Lord's open door. In your bulletin today, we placed all seven of these churches from Revelation 2 and 3. I believe that there, and others believe it with me, that these are prophetic pictures of the church age, the entire church age, from the time of the Lord Jesus' death at Calvary's cross until he comes in the rapture to take away his believers. And Ephesus, the church of the apostolic age, left their first love. Smyrna, the period of the persecutions, 64 to 312. Pergamos, thoroughly married to the world, imperial favor, 312 to 606. Thyatira, 606 to 1520. Balaamism, Nicolaitanism, and the Dark Ages. And Sardis this morning, we're going to talk about the period of the Reformations, leaving remnant, and then Philadelphia a little bit this morning on Philadelphia, the true church, the professing church, 739 to the present, and finally Laodicea next week. This week, our Lord's open door. Next week, our Lord's closed door. Talk about the closed door next week. This Sardis, the angel, that's the pastor. We believe the pastor is that. Let's read that verse. I guess we didn't read that yet. Let's read it. Verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. The angel, the messenger, we believe it's the pastor of this church of Sardis. All these churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor, as we said before, are right there in a Turkey area. This is the Asia Minor area, which is the Turkey, and all seven churches that are written in chapter 2 and chapter 3 are located there. Sardis is that church at that point. And he that hath the seven spirits of God, the fullness of the Spirit of God, and who has the seven stars. In chapter 1, we see the seven stars are the angels or the pastors of these churches. The Lord Jesus holds those seven stars, those pastors. And I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Well, how can you be living and dead at the same time? In Ephesians 2, verse 1, it tells us, and you who hath thee quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He walked in the past and according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. So there's a way of being dead in trespass and sin, yet living in life, physical life. Then in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 6, it talks about the young widows who have strayed away from their pledge to the church to serve the Lord in the local church. And it says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So the contrast between death and living. Death is a separation. That's basically what death is. At physical death, it's a separation of our spirits and souls from our body. That's physical death. Spiritual death, on the part of all those that are lost, separation of our spirits and souls from God. We can't communicate with God when we're dead in sin and not saved. And eternal death will be the separation of our spirits and souls and bodies, all three, in hell, the lake of fire, for those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So, she that liveth in pleasure is dead, while she liveth. There's no communication with the Lord. She's out of fellowship with the Lord. That's what it means. And so this church has a name that thou livest. Every church in Collingswood and Cherry Hill and Philadelphia and Pensacola, wherever the churches may be, have a name that they live. Whether it's a Methodist or a Baptist, that name used to mean something. But many times, not all of them, but many times, the churches no longer hold to that name. They no longer believe the doctrines of John Wesley, Charles Wesley, the Methodist Church in this country. Not only all of them really believe in the Baptist distinctives of years gone by. Many of them are apostates and liberals, and so this is the same as the church here at Sardis, a name that thou livest, but art dead, spiritually vacant, separated from the blessings of the Lord. Let's read verse 2 together. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. As the Lord Jesus talks to these churches, he's talking to our church as well, the Bible for Today Baptist Church, and all churches of this present age. Be watchful. That's a continuous action. Continue to watch. And that word for watch is to give strict attention, be cautious, be alive, to take heed, lest through remission and indolence, some destructive calamity suddenly overtakes you. Watchful. And he says, continue to watch. Our church, we must watch. That's why we have our book rack back there. All kinds of things to watch about. I can't cover all those things that are in the book rack. Various things, various issues of the church. Continue. Then it says, continue to strengthen, again, a present tense, the things which remain. They may be off base, but they're to strengthen and to be established and hold on to make firm the things that do remain that are good in their church. And we ought to remain the things that are good in our church. Don't leave them, but strengthen them that are ready to die. They had things that are ready to die. I have not found thy works perfect before God. As far as being watchful, Matthew 24:42, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord shall come." Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation." Acts 20, verse 29, Paul said, "After my departing, grievous woes will come in, it's not sparing the flock. Of your own selves, people will rise up. Therefore, watch and remember." We've got to watch for wolves in sheep's clothing in our churches, as well as those from without, trying to damage the cause of Christ. "Watch and remember," said Paul, "that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." And in 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith." Watch. We've got to be careful of unbelief coming into our hearts, our lives, our church, and our churches in our nation. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. "Let's not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober." Watch and be sober. 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul told preacher Timothy, pastor of the church at Ephesus, "Watch thou in all things." Watch. Open your eyes and see. Modernism and apostasy does not come overnight. Modernism and apostasy comes gradually. And that's where new evangelicalism has been called by Harold John Ockeghem, 1948-1949. As he said, we've got a new evangelicalism. We don't want to be separatists anymore from the apostasy. We're going to try to win those apostates over to us. We're going to go in with them. No, that's not God's way. Come out from among them. Be separate. But watch in all things, lest apostasy and compromise come. Watch in our own hearts, lest our hearts become cold. Watch in all things, Pastor Timothy, Paul said. "Men, be strong and strengthen the things that are yet remaining." In Psalm 31:24, "Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart." It's the Lord, if we're saved, will strengthen our hearts. And Luke 22:32, the Lord Jesus talked to Simon Peter, who was going to forsake him for not go long. He said, "When thou art converted, Peter, strengthen thy brethren." Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, he said to Peter. Strengthen thy brethren. In Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." That's the only strength that we have spiritually, in the Lord. A lady called today and wondered, this last week, she was seeing all kinds of satanic things and visions and so on, almost like a drunk with delirium tremens and visions and different things of the devil, and scared to death and hearing voices. I said, if this person is saved, she's got to be strong in the Lord. She's got to resist the devil. He will flee from you, see? This is a terrible situation. The strength must come from the Lord. We're to put on all the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So I hope that gave a comfort to the person, and we trust that that did. But we've got to be strong in the Lord, not in our strength. The devil is powerful, but he's not all-powerful. "Greater is he that is in you," says John, "than he that is in the world." The Holy Spirit of God is great. And 1 Peter 5:10, Peter says, "After you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." We've got to be strong in the Lord. And that's what this church didn't have and needed. Strengthen the things that remain. And in 2 Timothy 2:1, talking about Pastor Timothy, "Pastor Timothy, my son," probably Paul led him to the Lord as his Savior, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And if we're going to be strong at all, spiritually strong, it's got to be in the Lord Jesus' grace. Got to be strong because we're into the Scriptures, into the Word of God, following and practicing and taking away and confessing all known sin if we're saved, that we may be strong and established in the things of the Lord. And this church was ready to die. He had to have a name. Listen, all these churches have names. But the names are fast becoming, though they say they're alive, they're fast becoming dead. Death sometimes comes slowly. People don't die all of a sudden many times. It's a slow process. And that we must see. If it's a slow, long, lingering death, you say, my wife likes to read the obituaries. I don't know what she likes them. Maybe she reads them to see if there's anybody that's died recently that she knows. We know people in this area and they've died. Why? Didn't know that. But many times it says in the obituaries, after a long illness, they die. Well, churches are that same way. You take the most strong church that you can think of. In the past, they were strong, they were vibrant, they were evangelistic, and all of a sudden, slowly, things creep in and they begin to just die gradually. They get this worship type of thing, and you get the charismatic type of thing, and you get to change the verses of the Bible and move on to something else. All kinds of music changes and contemporary things come in, and it's a gradual death. And I believe that's what the Lord Jesus was saying about this church at Sardis. May our church never die, whether gradually or instantaneously. But may we keep, every one of us who are attending, keep our eyes upon the Lord and keep strengthened in the grace which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, to take the whole armor of God, shield of faith, and the greaves of the gospel of Christ, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All these different things we've got to have. Let's read verse 3 together. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Remember, continue to remember. He tells this church at Sardis, all of our churches must remember how that thou hast received and heard. This church heard and received the truth of God. And he says to them, remember what you received. We've received things. This talks about, I believe, the received Greek text, for example. It's called the received text, the textus receptus. It's one thing we've received. And we've got to hear it. We've got to fight for it. And hold fast the things we've received. We've received the doctrines of the faith, the deity of Christ, born again by faith in Christ through grace, with his death at the cross of Calvary, shedding of his blood. All these things we've received, the doctrines we've received, his virgin birth, his coming again, the miracles of all these things, and salvation by faith in our Savior. What we've received and heard, we've got to hold fast, just like this church. And the hold fast is the word from krateo, and it's the word to carefully take care of and attend to. I guess it's tereo. And it's to guard. Guard the things that you have received. Keep them in the state of which you're in. To undergo something and to keep it, to guard it. And that's why I, for instance, as a Bible-believing pastor, want to guard and keep the things that I have received. A man, Dr. Mincy, from the Mind of God and the Mind of Man book, and then the sequel to it, put out by Bob Jones University people, he put an email to me yesterday, the day before, and asked me, what type of Greek text do you hold to? What is your received text? And so I told him, it's the exact Greek words that underlie our King James Bible, Hebrew words that underlie our King James Bible, Masoretic Hebrew and text receptus. And then he wrote another email to me, and he said, some of my friends believe this way, and I want to know just what version of the received text you mean. I said, well, there's a lot of received text, but it's basically Beza's 5th edition, 1598. That's what our King James Bible translators used. And he said, well, aren't they just allowed to themselves using anything they want? I told him, no. I said, according to Dr. Scribner, only 190 places does the Beza's text of 1598 depart from our King James Bible, and they used something else. But that's a very small percentage out of 140,000 plus words in the Greek text. They have 190 when they use maybe Erasmus or some of the Greek. But we've got to hold that which we've received and heard, hold fast. And they were to repent and change their ways. And if not, if they don't watch, it says you've got to come on them as a thief, you've got to take away their church from them. And that's exactly what happened historically. As far as the things we've received, Acts 17:11, these were more noble. Let's say that. We said that in our 130 service, Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Received the word. And we've got to hold fast what we receive. Don't forget it. Don't throw it away. But receive it. In 1 Corinthians 15:1, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and which also ye have received. These things have been received. Keep. Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Stay by the stuff. Don't change. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. This cause we thank God, because when you received the word of God, which you've heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God. To receive things. And 1 Thessalonians 3:6, we command you, brethren, to withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. We have received things, and we've got to guard them. And that's what Paul is getting at, and John is getting at here with this church that has wants to continue to receive. Let's read verse 4 together. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. There are a few that didn't defile themselves. That word defile is an interesting term, maluno. It means to pollute, to stain, to contaminate. Used in the New Testament of those who have not kept themselves pure from the defilements of sin, who have soiled themselves by fornication, by adultery. And as far as things that defile, the Lord Jesus mentioned at least 13 of them in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23, 13 things. That which cometh out of the man, not that which cometh out of the man, defile man. That which cometh in from without, but that which cometh out of the man, that is what defiles the man. He lists them from within, out of the heart of man. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. And the Lord Jesus in verse 23 said, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Inside filth and wickedness. In James 3 and verse 6, the tongue, he says, is a fire. The world of iniquity, and it defileth the whole body. It causes a terrible, terrible corruption and defilement. It says, walk with me if you've not defiled. There were a few. I'm glad that there were a few in Sardis. And I hope there are many, more than just a few in our church here, that have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, symbol of purity, for they are worthy. In Colossians 1 and verse 10, Paul says that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. He alone is worthy. We'll see that in chapter 4 of this book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus is worthy, but he wants us to walk in a worthy manner of him who has saved us. And that's a tall order, but it's what God would have us to do. Now let's read verse 5 together. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that overcometh, I believe every time that is used, it's talking about the believers, the saved people, overcoming, Nikao, the Nike, like the Nike Zeus, the missiles and so on, Nike shoes. It's the conqueror, the ones who continue to overcome, shall be clothed in white raiment. And in glory, that's what our raiment will be, white raiment. And then notice he says, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. The book of life is used 5 or 6 times in Scripture, and it always refers to those that are saved, those that are born again by faith in Christ. He says, I will confess his name before my Father. In Philippians 4, verse 3, talks about Clement and the people of labor with me in the gospel, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So those that are saved, their names are in the book of life. God's got a book. You say, does he keep books? Yes. Does he keep bad books or good books? Good books. Does he alter the books? You know, some people in business, they have two sets of books. One for the investigators to look at, and one the real books. In fact, one of the ministries in this area, I won't mention what ministry it is, the one that was a CPA, kept the books. He's with the Lord now. Both the man that kept the books and the man that was the bookkeeper that was wrong. And he said there were two sets of books. He said, before I die, maybe I should give you the sets of books. But he said, well, I better not. And so he didn't, so I don't have them. But anyway, the Lord has got one set of books. He keeps them straight. In Revelation 13:8, those whose names are not written in the book of life shall worship the Antichrist. The book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In Revelation 17 verse 8, talks about the ones that worship the beast. We'll see about that as we come to it. Whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Their names are not there. In Revelation 20 verse 12, at the judgment of the great white throne of the unbelievers of all times, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book. Now that's the other book, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were in the books. In Revelation 20 and verse 15, it says, and whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name there? Are you sure you're saved and born again? Are you trusting Christ as Savior and Redeemer? If so, your name is in the book of life. If not, it's not there, and you will be cast into the lake of fire, burning fire, real fire. Revelation 22 and verse 19. If any man takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Don't believe to take his name out, to take his part. And I believe all these new versionists that have taken away the words of the book of life, or added to the words of the book of life, are going to have their part removed from the book of life. Not their names, but their part, their rewards. I believe that's what it's speaking of there in Revelation 22:19. Then he says, I will confess thy name before my Father. In Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore, said the Lord Jesus, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. And that's what he says here to this church at Sardis. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We should never be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should confess him and should not draw back. If somebody asks you, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you a Bible-believing Christian? If you are, I hope your answer will always be yes. Unequivocally, yes. Not, well, I hope so, or maybe, or ask me some other question, or whatever. But don't be ashamed. Confess him before me. Let's read verse 6 together. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is a refrain that ends every one of these churches, the seven churches. He that hath an ear. Every church, from Ephesus right on down the line to Sardis, and this is the end of the church of Sardis. If you have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, saith unto the churches. And it's a present tense, continues to say unto the churches. And we said many times in other places when we come to this, we go to 1 Corinthians 2:12. And we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. The words that the Spirit of God are saying to the churches, they're saying to our church as well as the church at Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, the church of Ephesus, church of Thyatira, all these churches, Pergamos. And the Holy Spirit of God has given to us his words. Old Testament words in Hebrew, a little Aramaic, New Testament words in Greek. We've got to have translations of those words into all the languages of the world, accurate translations. We do have an accurate translation of his words in Hebrew and in Greek in our King James Bible. I believe the only accurate translation in the English language today. And God expects us to hear what the Holy Spirit of God says to our church. It says to us. And that's what he's supposed to do. We've got to read, not only read his word, we've got to heed the words of God. And this is important, what the Holy Spirit has said. Let's read verse number 7 together. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. This is the angel, the messenger, the angelos, we believe the pastor of the church of Philadelphia. As we said before, Philadelphia, the true church and the professing church from 1739 to the present, the church where an open door was, a church where missionary endeavor began to multiply and to grow, a church where Bible institutes came and grew and mushroomed to take the place of modernistic seminaries. Now, sad to say, those Bible institutes are turning into colleges and they're drifting, sad to say. It's a different situation. And they don't want any longer to be called Bible institutes. They've got to be colleges. And they don't all like to be called colleges. They don't even want to be called colleges. That's not big enough for them. They want to be called universities. Universities. So now we have universities. We don't have Cedarville College. It used to be Cedarville Baptist College. Then they changed Cedarville College. Now Cedarville University. The same way with Grand Rapids Baptist Theological Seminary. It used to be Grand Rapids College. It used to be Grand Rapids Baptist College. They took the Baptist off Grand Rapids College. And took the college off. Not even took Grand Rapids off. And now it's, what is it? Some university. Fine, what is it? Cornerstone University. But this Philadelphia time was an open door for missions. And the Lord Jesus is identified as he is in chapter 1. The Lord Jesus is speaking to this church. He that is true, he that is holy, he that hath the key of David, the descent was proper, the lineage was proper from King David. He that openeth, no man shutteth, and no man openeth. We have a powerful Savior. I've entitled the message this morning, Our Lord's Open Door. The Lord has given a powerful open door to our church, and we pray that he would keep it. So far he's opened our church, and he has not shut the door of the Bible for Day Baptist Church. And it is he who has opened, and he can shut it anytime he sees fit. We must realize that. I have the power to open, no man shuts, I have the power to shut. And no man opens. When the Lord Jesus shuts the door, no matter if they keep having services, if the Lord Jesus is outside that church, might as well shut the doors too. And that's what a lot of liberals and modernistic churches have done. They keep on going with their little programs and so on. The Lord Jesus is not there. He has shut the door as far as he's concerned. He's a powerful Savior. In Matthew 28:18, He says, all power and authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. Paul says, most gladly will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The powerful one, holy, true, the key of David. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. The Lord Jesus has power. He can open doors, he can close doors. Colossians 2:10, ye are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of all kinds of power. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, the unsaved will be punished with the everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And then in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, the Lord Jesus, being the brightness of his glory, express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. The whole earth, the whole world, the whole universe, Mars, if they've got an unmanned space vehicle up there, he's in control of that thing. Man wants to control it. He wants to have a space station, all these. But the Lord Jesus is in control by the word of his power, upholding all things. He created Mars. He created Earth. He created man. He's a creator. He has the power of creation. 2 Peter 1 and verse 16. Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful, powerful Savior who opens and shuts doors. Let's look at the next verse. That's where we're going to take off a little bit more on the open door. Verse number 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. The open door. Jesus, the Lord, our Savior, says, I know thy works. Philadelphia Church, the Church of the Reformations. And our churches, the Baptist churches, never went through the Reformation. The church, the fire, we've come out before the Reformation. The Baptist churches have always been from the time of Paul in the New Testament right on to the present. We never came out of Rome. We never came out of the Lutheran church, the Episcopal church. We were always there. The Baptist churches have never been a part of the Reformation, but this is the Reformation church. Now, the Reformation didn't go far enough, as far as I'm concerned. Luther still maintained the rags of Rome, as my wife's grandfather used to refer to them as, the rags of Rome. Lots of things still there. Haven't changed. They haven't gone far enough. This is the Reformation church. I've set before thee, though, in this Philadelphia time, an open door. Now notice, I have set before thee. The Lord Jesus, it's the Lord's open door. And our church has been opened by the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe strongly in that. It's an open door. Even as Philadelphia had an open door. And no man can shut it. No man is able to shut it. Thou hast a little strength. Thou hast kept my word. And hast not denied my name. Let's take a look at a few open doors. In Acts 14:27. Paul rehearsed all that God had done with them, how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 16 and verse 9, he says, a great door and effectual is opened unto me. There are many adversaries. Always adversaries when God's open door is there. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. If you look at that map, you look at Troas, which is in Asia, the door was the man from Philippi that said, come on over to Philippi and help us. That's the door to Europe. Asia had the gospel, but now Europe was opened up, and that was the door that Paul speaks of. I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel. A door was opened unto me of the Lord. The Lord opened the doors. We can't open doors. The Lord can. And 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, I came to Troas to preach. And then in Colossians 4 and verse 3, praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds. Here Paul was praying in jail. He was in prison in the book of Colossians, a prison epistle, prison letter. And he says, open door, no man can shut, that has little strength, that has kept my word, guarded it, and kept it, and see to it that it was kept. And God wants us to keep his words. Our church should keep his words. We should not leave the words of God in any way. John 14:15, the Lord Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep them, guard them, maintain them. John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my word. Keeping. He says, thou hast kept my word and not denied my name. in 1 John 5 and verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And 1 Timothy 6:20 says, O Timothy, here's Pastor Timothy, pastor of the church at Ephesus, keep that which is committed to thy trust. That's what the title of the Cloud's paper is, O Timothy, from this verse. We're to keep that which is committed to our trust. And that's why the committed, the received Greek and Hebrew text is the thing, one of the things they're committed to our trust. All the doctrines of Scripture we're to keep. And he says, thus Kemmerer has not denied my name. Matthew 10:33, the Lord Jesus said, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. May we never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 26:34, the Lord Jesus warned Peter, before the cock crow, thou, Peter, shall deny me thrice. The church at Philadelphia has a little strength, kept my word, not denied my name. What about our open door? As I said before, this church, so the missionary efforts in this particular part of the history of the churches, missions were open, Bible institutes were open, the Bible-believing seminaries and so on. And well, in October of 1998, the Lord opened this door, the door of our church and our house. And the Lord has kept it open. Praise the Lord for that. We have 7 missionaries that we support partially, not fully, by any means. And we have the ones, the Bennetts in Australia, the Clouds over in Nepal, in USA, the Garants in Papua New Guinea, the Jasmines in this country, the Jungs in South Korea, the Kenderdines in Cambodia, the Mormons over there, and Dr. Jack Mormon over in London, England. Missionaries, part of our open door. God has opened up that door to help and assist in their missionary endeavors. The Lord has opened radio ministry. We have some stations on radio. It's gone out to many places. And because of our station in Greenville, South Carolina, WTBI, that is also on the Internet. And so Dick Carroll's sister can hear him play on the piano, and she says we ought to give him more time. 10 minutes. That's just a one piece. Yeah, that's all right, Dick. That's his sister. We agree. I wish there were 10 extra minutes for him. He can do it. But because of this Internet, see, Greenville, South Carolina, WTBI, also simulcasts on Internet every single Sunday night from 6 to 7. Anybody in the world can hear what we're saying right here. They hear what we're singing, hear what we're saying, hear the piano. That's an outreach of the Internet. It's amazing. As we said last month, 2,966 people all over the world downloaded some of our messages that we're talking about right here in this room. 2,966 downloaded. Usually double that listened. Over 3,000 downloaded, 6,000 probably listened or viewed it, but downloading onto their computer. 31 countries, 47 states. The Lord has opened a door. He's opened a door for services here. He's opened a door for our video families. We have 27 families that either get our videos or DVDs somewhere around this country and around the world, our missionaries. The Lord has opened the door for books. Our church, through the offerings that are given to this ministry, have been able to publish the books you see on that mantle right there. 5 books of messages. Peter, 1 Peter, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. A book on marriage, making marriage melodious. One pastor told me, he said he's going to have me for meetings recently, the next month or two. And he says we're using that in our Sunday school class. And of course the 4,000 definitions. The Lord has undertaken for that, and our church has done that. As you know, I don't take a salary, but the salary I would normally take goes into the books. And the books can reach out. The books have reached out. The books are being ordered by people around this country from time to time. The ministry, the open door, tracts, the calendars have gone out, the pens that talk about our ministry. Pray that the door will stay open to our Bible Today Baptist Church. But we have an open door. We ought to thank the Lord for it. I thank you for being here and coming to us and listening and praying and preaching and praising the Lord and singing for the things of the Lord. We have an open door, and the Lord Jesus says, I have set before thee an open door. And if the Lord sets an open door before you or before me, we better walk through that door. Don't cease. You have all your open doors, all your kinds of open doors in your ministry, in your life, wherever you live, wherever you are. And the Lord, if the Lord is in it, walk through it and don't stop. We believe the Lord has opened this door for us. We have a different people that come. When Dr. John was here, he said, my, I got a lot of different faces, new faces. Yes, we have. Some faces have gone, some faces have come. If we end up, this is what churches are. But it's an open door. And we praise the Lord. He leads us in all of our endeavors. We trust new ones and old ones. And we pray for all that may be held account. Let's read verse number 9 together. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say are Jews and are not, but to lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Them that are the synagogue of Satan, notice what they say. They say they are Jews and are not. We mentioned this last Lord's Day as well. We see a program. My wife has got up on the television in the morning, right after James Kennedy's program. It's called The Key of David. Last Sunday we listened to it, and I wonder, who is this guy? He talks about this and this. Well, I happen to be there at the first part of that broadcast today. This Key of David, he refers to Herbert W. Armstrong. Says the book is free. See, now Armstrong is a cross between British Israelism and Jehovah's Witness. It's a cross between these things. It's a terrible heresy. And this man is called the Key of David. Well, that's what's in this verse, in this chapter that we've talked about. And what he says is that the Jews that are present, the Jews are not Jews. But the Jews are the British citizens, the United States, and Germans. The Anglo-Saxon Celtic people are the Jews. This practice was here in the Philadelphian church. People say they're Jews and are not. But they lie, and they do not the truth. And he says, I'm going to make them to come and worship before the true people and know that I have loved thee. So we have a rampant heresy that's abroad today of people saying, now we have a paper that we get once a month or whenever it comes out by Tex Mars. Tex Mars, he believes the King James Bible and so on and so forth. He's a little bit on the Ruckman side of things. In fact, he's solid on the Ruckman side. He said, I'm going to use your book defending the King James Bible until the Lord returns. And then somebody found in that book some of my castigation against Peter Ruckman. Boy, I got a call from him, a letter from him, a hot letter. It's terrible. You're toying against Ruckman, so on. I'm going to not use your book. So there's a man that wants to use it till the Lord comes. I guess the Lord came for him before he actually came. But Tex Mars, recently, more recently than ever, is saying that the Jews aren't the Jews, and that the Anglo-Saxon white people are the real Jews. And as I said before in our Bible study, I don't have the map here, but the Jews, the 10 lost tribes, they call them the 10 lost tribes, are the white people. So this leads to Nazism, it leads to Hitlerism, it leads to race hatred, hatred of the Jews, hatred of the real Jews, hatred of the Negroes, and all kinds of racism. And Adolf Hitler was part of it. This whole thing, this whole mess, is a terrible, terrible travesty. And the Lord Jesus calls it a lie. They say they are Jews and lie and do not. It's almost akin to Harold Camping with his programs here on WKDN, who says the promises of Israel have been transformed into the church, which is absolutely false. Israel's promises are going to be maintained and fulfilled by Israel, national Israel. And the church is separate and distinct, and the promises are going to be fulfilled there. But that's what the Lord is saying. I'm going to make them with the synagogue of Satan. False teaching, saying that some people are Jews. Well, now, we believe the Jews that are right over there in Palestine now are the Jews that God has given the right to, and in unbelief, but one day the Lord's going to raise them up, people, and they're going to come in faith and in belief, and all Israel should be saved, as it says in the book of Romans. Let's read verse 10 together. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Thou hast kept the word of my patience, guarded it. I have kept thee, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon thee. Kept from the hour. I believe he's referring here to the tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week. And Daniel's 70th week is for Daniel's people. That's why it's so important that we distinguish between Israel, the people of the Old Testament, and the church, God's people, the new. You can't mix them. And the 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation period, will be for the judgment against the Jews at that time. And we have been kept. I think the believers, the Philadelphia church is, like any believers, are kept from the hour. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church, taking away the church, the believers, the born-again ones, before this terrible rapture takes place. Different from these people. One of our missionaries, Brother Garant, stands strong with us on pre-tribulation rapture. And he was corresponding with a pastor that used to send him out as a missionary. And the pastor no longer believes in pre-tribulation. He believes in the pre-wrath rapture of the church. So Brother Grant, he sent me a copy of the letters he wrote back and forth to the man and said, "Was this all right, Pastor? Do you agree?" I said, "Absolutely, I agree with what you're saying." He got into a lot of hot water from this other pastor that believes in something else. We believe in pre-tribulation rapture. In 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6, "For the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need to write unto you. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape." Talking about the tribulation coming as a thief. "But, brethren, ye are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light, children of the day, not of the darkness. We will not be overtaken. We will be kept from the hour of this tribulation period." That's a promise. I believe it's referring to here the church at Philadelphia. Kept and guarded from that hour of terrible tribulation and calamity, indeed. Let's read verse number 11 together. "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I come quickly." Talking about the return of the Lord and the rapture, speaking of the church here at Philadelphia. "And we're to hold fast that which thou hast. Hold fast that no man take the crown." That's the word krateo. To grab hold of it, lay hands on it, and be master of it. What thou hast. The things and doctrines that we have, we should hold on to. We should not discard. Our standards of music, our standards of the Word of God, our standards of preaching, our doctrinal standards. Hold fast. The Lord Jesus, any day can come. We believe in any time, imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture. No prophecy needs to be fulfilled before He snatches live people and transforms their Bible, their transforms their bodies on the way going up into immortal bodies. And those that are in corruption now and in the grave, they will be transformed to incorruption. But one day He's going to come quickly. Hold fast that which I said, no man take thy crown. And 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." For to hold fast that good. And then 2 Timothy 1:13, "Hold fast the form of sound words." That's why we hold fast to the received text in the Greek and Masoretic in the Hebrew, King James Bible in the English. "That no man take thy crown." There are five crowns in Scripture. Our girl, let's say it. R, crown of righteousness. G, crown of glory. I, incorruptible. I, and then R, another R, rejoicing. And then finally L, crown of life. And those crowns, in Revelation 4:10, the 24 elders, which we believe were pictures of the church in glory, will cast their crowns before the throne. All these crowns, righteousness, loving as a pairing. Glory, a faithful shepherd of the flock. Incorruptible, running the race successfully. Rejoicing for winning souls. Crown of life, being faithful unto death. And Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to take these crowns. Thou art worthy." We have been set before us an open door. A poem that I put in the bulletin I'd like to read to you as well. Our Lord's open door. "Help us to trust in Thee." This is for our church as well as other churches. When the children's life, Martha Snell Nicholson, "The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, it comforts my heart to know that there must have been many timorous ones who faltered and feared to go. Feared the ribbon of road which stretched ahead like a narrow track, with the waves piled high on the other side, and nothing to hold them back, nothing to hold them back but a hand. They could neither see nor feel. Their God seemed distant and far away, and only the peril real. Yet the fearful ones were as safe as the brave, for the mercy of God is wide. Gently and safely He led them all, dry shod, to the other side." And I think of the needless terror and pain we bring to our own Red Sea. Strengthen Thy timorous ones, dear Lord, and help us to trust in Thee. And we ask our God to keep our door open, our church door open, to serve Him, to trust in Him, and ask His help for all these things. He is able. He opened this door of our church, just like He asked before the Church of Philadelphia. He sets up before them an open door that no man can shut. And may we keep that open, and may we continue to pray for Him as He guides us and leads us. Let's close.